The second Sunday of Lent. The first reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, the only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up at the holocaust on the high that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God. Since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked out, he spied a ram caught by its horn in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up at the holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear to myself," declared the Lord, "that because you acted as you did, in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the star of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gate of their enemy. And in your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obey my command." The second reading from the letter of Paul to Romans. Brother and sister, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen one? It is God who acquitted us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus, it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on the high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his cloth became dazzling white, so that no fuller on earth could bless them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The sharing by Father Anthony Dean. the topic. God sacrificed his only son for his people. Love is an abstract concept. People can correctly define what is love, but they can feel when they are loved. God's love is even more abstract because we never see him, but we can feel his immense love for us when we look up on the cross. Today's reading were perfectly arranged so that we can feel God's love for us through two events which happened in Mount Moriah and the Golgotha Hill. In the first reading, the book of Genesis reported the event God wanted to test Abraham's faith by commanding him to kill Isaac, his only son, whom God gave him in his old age. With his unshakable faith in God, Abraham lay at night and was ready to sacrifice his son as God commanded. In the second reading, St. Paul compared this event with the death of Jesus on Golgotha Hill and make the conclusion. He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything along with him? In the gospel, Jesus brought with him three disciples to Mount Tabor, and he let them see his transfiguration so that they could be ready to face his coming passion and death. The first reading. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son as a holocaust for God. Abraham's faith. Human faith must be tested to see if it is real. The Genesis account clearly said God put Abraham to the test. This was a great test, which exceeded human limitation when God commanded Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him at a holocaust on the high that I will point out to you. Human reaction. If we are in Abraham's place, how could we react to God's command? Many of us would answer him, it is enough, God. Please don't test us this way. This is my only son whom you gave me in my advanced year. If you really want Isaac, please don't give him to me in the first place. This reaction can be justified because there is not a good father who wants to kill his only beloved son, the one who continued his genealogy. Abraham's action. If Abraham reasoned like a human being, he shall not understand and accept God's command because it is so unreasonable. But he decided, as he decided many times before, to live according to his faith in God. God gave and he take away, thank be to God. He take away and give back again. Nothing is impossible to God. When he came to the place, God replied, Abraham, make an altar. Stuck up the dry wood, bound his son Isaac, and put him on the altar. Then he raised the knife up to kill his son. The tragedy is quickly ended. At the moment, everybody were holding their breath, the author of Genesis reported. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, that law he answered. Do not lay your hand on the boy, said the messenger. Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God. Since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son. God saw to Abraham's mind and heart. He knew that Abraham completely trusted in him. Since God only wanted to test him, he didn't need to see anything more. His messenger ordered him to stop the killing of his son. Abraham found a substitute sacrifice for his son. As Abraham looked out, he spied a ram caught by its horn in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. God promised three rewards for Abraham. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, I swear by myself, declare the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly. God promised to grant Abraham and his descendants three things. First, an abundant descendant. I shall make your descendant as countless as the star of the sky and the sand of the seashore. This promise is fulfilled now. Second, the promised land. Your descendants shall take possession of the gate of their enemy. This promise is included both the Israelite entrance to the promised land under Joshua and humankind to the heaven by Jesus' victory. And third, Abraham's descendants shall be God's selected nation. And in your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing, all this because you obey my command. The second reading, God sacrificed his only son for human being. A comparison between God and Abraham's law. The event that happened in Mount Moriah is the figure and the reparation so that people can understand what happened in Golgotha Hill. There are many similarity and differences between the two events. The similarity. Both fathers were ready to sacrifice their only son, the beloved son. If we feel Abraham's love for Isaac, we must also feel God's love for his son. In God's plan of salvation, the event of Abraham Isaac prepare our soul for Christ's event so that we can feel God's love for us. The difference is, there is a great difference between the two events. In the former, Isaac was not killed. In the latter, Christ was actually killed in place of human being by the humiliated and painful death. If we felt indignant with God in the first event, how do we feel for God when he expressed his love for us in the second event? We never see God, but we should feel his love for us when we look up on the cross. Both the Father and the Son show their immense love for us. God never wants to condemn people. St. Paul helped us to draw out some important conclusions from the trial event. He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for it all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? St. John said the same thing. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only Son of God. St. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. God doesn't want to condemn people. People condemn themselves by showing their indifference or turning their back to God's love. St. Paul said, who will bring a charge against God's chosen one? It is God who acquitted, who will condemn. It is Christ who died, rather would raise, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us now. The Gospel. Jesus prepared his disciples for his passion. First, the purpose of Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus let his disciples see his glory is to teach them a lesson. They must go to suffering before reaching the glory. He also prepared them for his coming passion and death, so that when they must face it, they have the hope to endure and to overcome all suffering. And second, there are many things Jesus wanted to reveal for his disciples through his transfiguration. First, he is the Son of God. Jesus' disciples heard a voice from cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is the second time that they heard this voice. The first time they have heard this voice is in Jesus' baptism, before Jesus began his public ministry. This time was before Jesus' passion and death. The voice confirmed the relationship between God the Father and his Son Jesus. Second, he is the Messiah whom the prophet announced. The presence of two witnesses, Elijah, who represented for all prophets, and Moses for the law, proved this point. Third, Jesus was going to the way of the cross. The disciple questioned at the end of this passage, what rising from the dead meant. So they knew that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah discussed about the passion, which is going to happen for Jesus in Jerusalem. Luke's report is clearer about this point. 4. God's love for human beings. This is the highest point of the transfiguration to the passage. Didn't mention it. When God let his Son Jesus Christ go to the passion to redeem human beings, he wanted them to understand his love for them. 5. Jesus volunteered to embrace his passion. The disciple heard Jesus discuss his passion with Moses and Elijah, so that when it actually happened, they shall know it is not accidental. Jesus volunteered to accept suffering, not that he failed to counter human faults. Why did Jesus prohibit disciples to talk about this event? In reality, there are some events which are only needed to reveal to some people to prevent confusion. There are events which are revealed at the right time. Jesus took with him only three apostles, Peter, James, and John, because they form the nucleus of the 12. He commanded them not to reveal what they saw before to Mark. This is the Messiah's secret. Jesus accepted suffering and death to redeem humankind. Application in life. When God gives us His only Son, He gives Himself. He also desires to give our only Son, that is ourself, as Abraham. The ideal love is such. God showed the depth of His love through the true event. He repaired human mind by the Abraham Isaac event, so that we can feel His love through Christ's passion and death. We couldn't fathom Abraham's trial and the sacrifice of God's only Son. The event helped us to know why God let suffering happen to us, so that we know how to completely put our trust in Him. Faith must be tested in trial and suffering. Behind Jesus' passion and death is His glorious resurrection. If we deny our suffering and cross, we also deny the way to our glorious resurrection. Amen.